The southern U.S. border and stories of the flow of human beings back and forth across our deserts has been the subject of many feature films. A new independent production confronts the realities of life at the extremes of our immigration issues and is the work of an emerging local talent. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guest today is native El Pasoan and director Ileana Sosa. Her debut feature film is Detained in the Desert, whose story of life and prejudice along the border has recently been completed. I'm happy to have Ileana Sosa on the program today for the first time. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to have you in. This was a happy circumstance. You're back in El Paso, I think, this week. So
yeah.
Thank you for coming into the studio to talk to us.
Thanks for having me.
So are you splitting your time between El Paso and California now?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I mean, I'm trying to find actually a way to come back to El Paso.
Fantastic.
And, I would like to make more films here. So I'm trying to bridge that gap between LA and El Paso. So we'll see what happens.
Fabulous. You know, El Paso has produced a lot of fine filmmakers, and I'm excited to see your feature film. We should probably back up. The film is not available yet. You've recently completed it. Why don't we start with maybe a synopsis of just what the film is about, and you can walk us through the story.
Yeah. Well, the film follows two main characters. One who's, his name is Lou, and he's sort of a conservative radio talk show host, kind of like Glenn Beck and in that vein.
Rush Limbaugh.
Yes, exactly. So it's based in Arizona. So he works in Arizona, lives there. And then we follow Sandy, who's a second-generation Mexican-American woman. And she's not very much in touch with her culture, you know, very much assimilated. And so I don't want to reveal everything that happens, but basically these two very distinct individuals, very distinct political views cross paths. It's kind of they meet each other and they help each other out, but I don't want to reveal exactly how they do that.
So they're put into a situation where they must cooperate.
Yes, exactly.
Whereas in normal life, they wouldn't want to be anywhere near each other.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I think I get the gist of it. And I gather that this radio talk show host who's espouses at least extreme views to his listeners really has to confront sort of the human face of the people he's talking about on his radio show.
Yes, exactly, because he undergoes that same experience and it changes his views significantly.
Fascinating. You know, this is your directorial debut in the feature film category, but, you know, of course, it's all films are a collaborative effort, but you adapted the screenplay from a play by your executive producer on the film, Josefina Lopez, who I think some listeners will remember for the film Real Women Have Curves with America Ferrera.
Yes, exactly. She, Josefina is originally a playwright, and that was originally a play that was then adapted to the screen as well.
So that one became a film, and then Detained in the Desert, was that the name of the play she wrote
exactly.
as well?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's her original play. So,
and did you see this at some point and then just decide, I need to make a film of that?
No, actually, I didn't see it. I saw a little bit of the stage production that was taped. But she actually approached me after seeing a film that I made here in El Paso called Child of the Desert. And so she asked me, you know, would you be interested in working on this feature? It's extremely low budget, but, you know, are you up for the challenge? And I said yes. I mean, it's very hard for someone to offer you a chance, you know, to direct a feature, especially starting out.
Particularly someone who's already been through a major feature film.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm, you know, I was honored to do it. And even though we did it for very little money, you know, I'm proud of what we were able to do with the money we had. So
that's an amazing story that I would imagine is at the heart of every person who's ever made a short film. Hopes their short film will be seen by someone who wants them to do work for them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I didn't expect it. I mean, she has a theater in Boyle Heights and she puts on a bunch of productions. And she has a film festival, Latina Film Festival, which is kind of a first in its kind. It's called Boyle Heights Latina Independent Film Festival. And I wasn't going to submit, but she's like, just send your short in and, you know, we'd like to see it. And the short went on to win, you know, like Best Short and I won like Best Director or something. It was a small festival. But from then, you know, she showed interest in my work.
Now, reading some of her bio, it seems like this is a very personal, the play is a very personal story for her because for many years growing up, she was an undocumented immigrant in this country. And some of the themes that are being addressed in the film are very personal. Were you anxious taking on someone like her story that was so personal to her, the responsibility you had to turn it into a feature film?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this film deals with a lot of sensitive issues, and some people's not cup of tea. It can be, you know, the screens that we've had, you know, people call it liberal and, you know, very politically heavy-handed. So that might make it difficult for people to, you know, digest. But I did, when she approached me, I wanted to, I mean, the reality was our budget was so small that I think the movie did deserve a bigger budget to really make it what it needed to be. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I'm happy with what we were able to do. And I had a great cinematographer who, with that collaboration, we were really able to, you know, make this film what it is.
I think you, in one of your press releases, you had a statement that one of the most important things that can come from this movie is for people to see immigrants as humans. And when you say that some audiences responded to it as being liberal, I'm wondering, did you set out to make a political film, or is it simply that the issues you're dealing with are so charged in our society right now that people can't help but filter it through their own political views?
I think both, actually. I think the play lends itself to be a little bit politicized, and I think that's just Josefina's work. I think that she's not afraid to do that, and some people are, you know. So,
well, certainly major filmmakers today are.
Yes, exactly. So it's a combination of both things. I think it's the work, but also the fact that we kind of tend to have a very narrow-minded view of these issues now. And I mean, now they're coming at the forefront, which I think, if anything, this film will cause a lot of dialogue. And I think that's what's needed.
So she executive produced your film. You adapted her play and directed the film. Did you all have a collaboration going in, or did she pretty much just turn it over and say, here's my play, I give you rein to take it and make a film?
Well, it was such a short turnover. I think I had like 2 months to adapt this. So usually you will have a lot more time. But it was very closely based to the play, and I would meet with her and she would go over the script or go over the progress and say, no, I'd like to keep that, or, you know, we should change this to that. But in reality, the script itself follows the play pretty on point. So I think she was happy with that because it didn't stray away too much from her vision.
But of course, plays and films are very different medium and animals, and you had to elaborate it into a cinema terms. And did you shoot it in Arizona, or?
We shot it in Barstow, in the desert in Barstow, in California, and then we shot in Lancaster at a detention center there because there's some scenes.
Interesting. So you got permission from Homeland Security, I guess.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So even on a small budget, that must have been difficult to move your cast and crew.
It was difficult. And I mean, we were in Barstow for 6 days in the middle of the desert, like 12-hour days. Just, we had an RV that kept breaking down. Yeah.
So this is truly an independent film. You don't have a major studio backing you. You've already mentioned you had a low budget and a quick time to make this in. As an independent filmmaker who's, you know, now has a feature under your belt, I mean, what was, looking back, the biggest challenge, you think, in producing a film and getting it done for, I guess, $50,000, $60,000?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of challenges.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I think one of the biggest challenges was keeping everyone motivated, you know, under their circumstances. I think, you know, being out in the desert and being so hot and having to work and having actors to give a certain performance was very difficult. That was one of the challenges, just keeping everyone motivated that we were making a film that was, you know, important. So
how do you prepare for that? Because as the director, everyone is looking to you every moment for whatever the next move is. And particularly on an independent production with so little money, you don't have time to reshoot things. You don't have time to spend days on a certain scene. You've got to blow and go. Do you prepare a certain way? Do you watch certain films, certain filmmakers that you admire to sort of get yourself geared up for a production like this?
I like to collaborate a lot with actors. I spend most of my time with actors, actually, to try to get the performance that's needed. I was fortunate enough to work with a great cinematographer. Her name is Judy Fu, and she actually shot Child for me.
Nice.
So we kind of have this relationship where we understand each other. And I mean, going in, we did a lot of work, a lot of preparation, knowing what shots we needed and just what I mean, we definitely shortlisted extensively. So we kind of knew going in what we were doing. I mean, there was times where we had to cut things out just because we didn't have time. Hmm. But I think that having that collaboration, and also that allows me to sort of take time with the actors and make sure that they're ready and prepared. But, you know, before that, I mean, we would always look at films and stuff too, of course, to prepare. Yeah.
It seems like Josefina Lopez's maybe ulterior motive here with her film festival was to bring filmmakers like yourself, emerging talent, to her awareness, and then give them some responsibilities to go and make some things and encourage. And the fact that you had a director of photography or cinematographer that was a woman, and you're a woman, and Josefina is your mm-hmm. executive director, it seems like a interesting model that you all have created for making films. It's really empowering for women in the industry.
Yeah, it's extremely difficult for women in general to be directing, and especially DPing. So I think that, you know, she allowed me. She said, you can pick who you want to shoot this. And so Judy, I think this was her first feature. I mean, she's done shorts and she's done like commercials and that kind of thing, but never a feature. So for me, it was kind of an amazing that it was really an all-woman team. I mean, we had, you know, men working on the crew, but the major positions were held by women, producing, directing, and cinematography. And so, I don't know, I think this is a new, it was really refreshing, and I like to work that way.
Maybe you can keep the team together and keep making movies.
Yeah, I would love to. I think that, I don't know, right now we're at a time where, I don't know, it was really inspiring to see that happen as well, being on set and being like, wow, I'm really actually doing this, and we're working as a team, and it was great.
Well, I really appreciate you coming into the studio while you're in town and talking to us, and I look forward to seeing the film hopefully soon. I know the trailer is available on YouTube, so congratulations on getting this finished.
Oh, thank you.
My guest today has been Ileana Sosa, director of the new film Detained in the Desert. You can view a trailer for the film on YouTube. A few final program notes. The Plaza Classic Film Festival is accepting submissions for its Local Flavor film series. The festival is looking for independent films with some connection to the border region. That can be local cast, crew, or even themes. And submission guidelines and application forms are available at the festival's website at plazaclassic.com. A recent indie feature with several local crew has been accepted to the prestigious Cannes Film Festival. The film's local cinematographer and sound mixers have been invited to attend the premiere of the film Stop the Pounding Heart in France later this month, and need the community's help raising travel funds. To learn more about the film and help get these filmmakers to France, go to fundraiser.com, that's FUNDRAZR, and search for Cannes Film Festival. The Film Salon will celebrate its 11th anniversary this evening with a reception at 7 p.m. and a screening at 7:30 p.m. Tonight's programming selection is a secret, but will include a short film and feature from the Golden Age of Hollywood. The Film Salon is located at Trinity First United Methodist Church at 801 North Mesa, and all screenings are free of charge. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.